Good morning and welcome to Being Here with hosts Ariel and Shia Kane. The Kanes will take you on an exciting exploration that will open the door to living in the moment. Now, here are your hosts, Ariel and Shia.
Good morning.
Good afternoon.
Good evening.
You look very cute.
Do I have a mustache?
You have a mustache.
We've been drinking our vitamin C powder and we mixed in water, and sometimes Shia has a mustache too.
I do.
It's kind of slightly orange in color. Okay. Hey, you have a mustache. Wouldn't you love to be able to be that straightforward with everybody you know?
So today's show is called The Power of Being Clear and Direct?
It is.
Good. Well, there's a lot of power in being clear and direct. One of the things that's most powerful is listening. Because if you truly listen, you hear what's being said rather than pass it through the filter of your mind. And the answer is usually right there, whatever the question is.
Also, as you listen, it supports the people around you in being clear and direct. There's two parts to being clear and direct. As a person having a conversation, listening is really key.
And have you ever been with people who aren't listening as you're talking? They're thinking about other things.
Don't you get scattered?
Right.
Or find yourself hesitant to say something?
Yeah.
Also, if a person is judging you, chances are what comes out of your mouth is a little more challenged.
Yes.
That being said, if you are aware you're being judged and you don't resist it, your ability to be clear and direct can unfold in an instant. So our approach is not psychological.
It's not psychotherapeutic. It's not problem solution oriented. It's really about discovering how to live in the current moment of your life. And not only discovering how to live there, but living in the current moment of your life. And when you're in the current moment, everything is clear and can be very direct.
As you're saying that, I realize as you're speaking, you're actually looking over here at me as opposed to thinking about what you have to say. Lots of times people get in trouble because they're trying to formulate what they want to say rather than simply
looking and seeing what's appropriate and apparent to say.
Correct. Have you realized as listeners that Shia and I finish each other's sentences?
I just realized it now.
We do.
Yes.
We seem to have one collective mind and two beings, and between the two of us,
we are half a mind.
So we're happy you're here with us today. We can practice the skill set of being clear and direct. But part of it, give yourself a break. Don't try and do it right. Just let yourself be. Working on yourself doesn't work. When you are working on yourself, you're likely to hem and haw and hedge.
When
and
you're working on yourself, you're not in the current moment of your life. You're talking about how you should have been, how you should be in the future, but you're not really here. In fact, when you're really here, you have very little attention on how you're doing because it's all perfect.
Yes, it's all perfect. Should we take our first caller?
Our first perfect caller?
Yes, our first perfect caller.
Okay.
Ephraim, where are you calling in from today?
Hey, guys. I'm calling in from New York City, my office.
Welcome.
How you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
We're great. What can we do for you?
Well, I was listening to you guys talk about this subject, and I was realizing how before I met you guys, I had so many strategies for speaking clearly or just speaking in general with people, whether in small groups or big groups. And now that I've been working with you guys for a while, I notice how many of those or all of those things are. Things that take me out of the moment and make it harder for me to engage with people.
That's great.
Oh, give us an example of a strategy or two, because I imagine quite a few of the listeners have strategies, and some of them may be hidden from themselves.
Well, one strategy would be just preparation. I mean, it's not always an option, but like preparing something to say ahead of time. So then when I'm trying to talk to someone, I have to think back to what was what I had practiced in my head. And
I love that.
That is so great. Yeah, that is so great, especially that now you notice how you are, you just say what's there to be said rather than worry about how you're going to present it so it's acceptable.
Right. It's a strategy that's supposed to make things easier, but it ends up being a lot of effort.
Right.
That's great.
The other thing that another strategy, I guess, is having sort of topics on tap that I know would be an easy topic. And the one thing that can be bad about those types of topics is there's an aspect of like lowest common denominator, if that makes sense.
I'm not quite tracking.
Can you give an example of a topic?
Well, before I met you guys, I didn't realize how much of a culture of upset I lived in. So I think one of the easiest things on tap would be to talk about an upset in the past. And
So would you be gathering somebody's agreement for being upset?
Exactly, yeah. So I noticed that I still have those strategies in my mind, and they come up when, you know, they might come up if there's too much silence or something. But I also noticed that I have other options after practicing with you guys.
Well, you know, it's really interesting, Ephraim, how you think you need to have something to say in order to fill the space, rather than look and see what there is to be said. And when you just look to see what you have to say, if you have anything to say, that relieves you of the burden of entertaining people.
I also have noticed that when you slow down just a touch, you're less likely to use filler words, the like and you know and...
Basically.
Mm-hmm. So you've had both styles so far of communication with us. When you first started at the very beginning of the conversation, there was very few filler words. But when we asked you to explain something and it took you a moment, instead of pausing to find your words, you kept speaking and adding those filler words. Does that make sense to you?
Yeah, that's interesting.
It is. I wonder, are you always hesitant in your conversation? I mean, I know in your profession, I know you're an architect in New York City, and you're involved in one of the largest architectural projects in New York City currently. And I wonder, when you speak to your colleagues about a project, do you find yourself hesitant about that?
It's not always. I think it depends on how comfortable I am with what I'm talking about or the situation. I have a feeling it has to do with the pressure I put on myself to come up with a response or yeah, as you were saying, to keep the conversation going.
I love that. That is just so insightful. Most people feel like the pressures come from the outside, but in general, they come from the inside. The pressure to do it right, say it right, sound in a particular way, like smart or together.
Yeah, well, why I ask, I mean, if you have a structured talk to deliver, I imagine you're very good with it.
Yeah, as long as, when I feel prepared, definitely.
Yeah,
or
I'm saying
subject matter. is inspiring.
Yeah, you know the subject matter, you've prepared your speech or your talk, and you know what you want to say, and you've rehearsed what you're going to say, then I feel that you're probably quite comfortable in that situation. But it's where you have to be Ephraim that you find yourself cautious to do it right.
That's true.
We had a very interesting conversation just briefly at a recent Monday night in New York City where we do our credit card processing through iPhones, which we're not coordinating very well with our chip reader. And you were explaining to me what I might need to fix that. And even though I didn't fully understand it, you were very clear. And of course, then you sent me
a
text with the details. But I found that your attention on you and doing it right or communicating was less stressful than, say, if you stand in front of the room or even when you call in to articulate yourself. So I have a feeling the pressure you put on yourself is largely circumstantially based, depending on how you perceive the situation.
Yeah, that makes sense. And yeah, it's sort of on the lines of what you were saying. When I feel like there's a lamp on me or there's a tension on me, yeah, that's when I slow down, I guess.
Yeah, well, I know what it's like.
You sound fairly normal.
That's right.
Let's talk about the three principles of instantaneous transformation, Ephraim, because I have a feeling people who are listening often don't feel like they're clear or they're direct, or they're only clear and direct in certain situations. And then sometimes they're hesitant or they use filler words or they feel they're inarticulate and they don't like that. So let's look at the first principle. Anything you don't like, don't approve of in yourself, don't appreciate, don't want, judge.
Sticks around. That's what you get stuck with. What you resist persists, grows stronger, and it dominates your life.
And then the second principle is you can only be exactly as you are in any given moment. So you can only be as articulate as you are in this moment, as informed as you are in this moment, as prepared, you've used that word a couple times, as you are in this moment. So however you are
is the only way you could possibly be in that moment. The third principle is if you see something like the way you're mind works around speaking publicly, and you don't resist it, but just notice it, it'll complete itself in that moment, in an instant. It doesn't take time. It's like an instantaneous improvement. But you can't see things to get them to change.
To get them to, quote, transform to something better. That is change.
That is change, and that's trying to manipulate the circumstances through being with them to get them to turn out the way you would prefer. And it just doesn't work that way because that's a modification of the first principle, that you're resisting something and if you have an intended outcome, it stays the same. Interestingly enough, when we do a workshop, we don't have an intended result for people to turn out a certain way. Our effort is, if there is any effort, is to get into the current moment. Because when you get into the current moment, it all works out perfectly.
I'll bet you haven't noticed the places where you're virtually always articulate. And if you become aware of them, then they're replicatable. And I imagine at least one of the places that you're at least currently articulate is with your daughter Nico, that if it's, do you want cereal for breakfast, do you want to go out for a walk, that there are ways that you relate to her where you allow yourself to just express yourself.
Absolutely.
Yeah, well, you know, you could just play a game of pretense.
Yeah, treat the rest of us like
like we're little kids. And your daddy.
Right.
So what you say is law, and nobody can challenge it, so don't worry about it.
I like that.
Thank you so much for calling in today. That could be a fun game.
Okay. We have another caller?
Thank you, guys.
We do. Let's take her, and then we'll have to go to a break pretty quickly. But Katie, you with us?
Hi. Can you hear me?
We can hear you loud and clear.
Before we go to a break, and now that Katie is here, she is one of the contributors to our latest book, Being Here Too, that's T-O-O. Her chapter is so, so sweet, and I recommend you get the book if you haven't gotten it already. And by the way, a lot of you got the book before the holidays. If you haven't gone up on Amazon and left a review, if you'd be kind enough to do that, that would be so lovely. Katie, we need to take a break. Yeah. Hopefully you can come back with us after the break.
Excellent. Will do.
All right, we'll be back shortly, everyone. So come on back.
And
don't
miss
being here.
It's your world. Motivate, change, succeed. VoiceAmericaEmpowerment.com.
Success, health, satisfaction. Now you can have it all. Ariel and Shia Kane make it easy with award-winning books that will hand you the keys to instantaneous transformation, unlocking new possibilities for health, wealth, and satisfaction in all areas of your life. Ariel and Shia also invite you to attend their fun, interactive workshops in New York, Germany, England, or even Costa Rica. Experience a quantum shift in your quality of life as you connect with a vital, supportive community and discover your own greatness. The Canes books and seminars are the perfect enhancements to their radio show, Being Here. So why not have it all? It's as easy as visiting transformationmadeeasy.com. That's transformationmadeeasy.com.
Ready to be inspired, entertained, enlightened? Let award-winning authors Ariel and Shia Kane support you in discovering a state of well-being that in the past was rarely, if ever, achieved. Now you, too, can experience Ariel and Shia's revolutionary new technology, Instantaneous Transformation, that has helped thousands discover how to have more satisfying lives without working on themselves or their problems. Visit TransformationMadeEasy.com to receive free video and audio downloads and to sign up for the Canes weekly newsletter featuring articles, inspiring quotes, and stories from real people just like you who have discovered enlightenment through the Canes approach. Visit TransformationMadeEasy.com.
Success starts here. VoiceAmericaEmpowerment.com. It's your world.
You're listening to Being Here with hosts Ariel and Shia Kane. Now, back to Being Here.
Welcome back. We're excited to see many of you in Costa Rica this Saturday, more of you the following Saturday. And if you are not coming with us, don't worry. We have the radio shows all lined up, the podcast lineup, so you don't have to miss a single one while we're gone. And then when we come back from our adventures, our immersion in instantaneous transformation in Costa Rica, we have some courses upcoming. First in New York City is The Power of Being Clear and Direct. You can practice that for yourself on March 8th, 9th, and 10th. It's a Friday night, Saturday, and Sunday. Also in New York City, just a little bit further down in May, we're doing Transformational Time and Project Management. And that is just a Saturday and Sunday, very powerful course as well. In Hamburg, in April, two courses. First on Thursday is the Freedom to Breathe and New Beginnings, April 11th and then 12th, 13th, and 14th. Costa Rica 2019, as I said, starts Saturday, but if you want to join us for 2020, the registration is now open. The prerequisite is attending a course with us, either in New York City or Hamburg between now and then. So you can go to transformationmadeeasy.com for more information and to register. We are speaking with the lovely Katie.
Hi.
Hi. Hi, Katie.
What can we do for you?
So I have a question about being clear and direct in situations where I feel uncomfortable. And a lot, sometimes that has to do with a joke being told that I feel is racist or just like, okay, what I'm trying to say is like when a racist joke or something like that is told and I don't think it's funny, in the past, I have just gone along with it and not said anything because I didn't want to upset anyone or anything. But I also feel that that allows things like that to perpetuate. And I'm wondering how I could be clear and direct without being confrontational for something when a situation like that arises.
Well, if I were to hold you as an expert in communication and I asked you that question, what would be the answer that you would come up with?
I would say, speak your truth from your heart.
Well,
that may be the problem.
Yeah, right. Where is your heart?
okay, it's in my chest, in my behind my rib cage.
Well, see, here's the thing, Katie. You're giving yourself a dictate. In advance, rather than looking and seeing in the moment should something like that arise.
Now, every moment is a unique new moment. Is it the same person who makes these racist or sexist jokes?
No. I mean, sometimes, yes. There are certain people who are... do it more than others, but I mean, I guess it hasn't really come up very much recently. Just there was one situation where that came up recently.
And what'd you do?
I said, let's talk about that later, because there was actually a person in front of us that I didn't feel comfortable speaking about the situation in front of, and then afterward, when we were alone, I said, hey, listen, I didn't feel comfortable with what you said back there. And I, you know, I'm sure you didn't mean any harm by it, but it could have been taken the wrong way by people who may have overheard you.
Wow.
That sounds like the really good way to deal with that.
It's so cool.
See, why I asked you the question of what you would do is because you are much more grounded in yourself than you think you are. You're much more capable to communicate than you think you are. You have thoughts about you that were generated when you were a child that still play as though they're true today.
Wow, yes.
You see that?
I do, yeah.
And if you look and see that, then you'll see that years and years ago, you made decisions about your abilities to communicate, which were at that time maybe not too great. But you're not that person and haven't been for years, maybe decades.
That's cool.
Were you listening when Ephraim spoke?
Yes, I was.
Remember he was talking about how he used to have a lot of strategies? You have a strategy to speak the truth from the heart. But in that instance you just gave us, that wasn't the appropriate action. It was to say, let's talk later. And then you spoke with that individual in a way that didn't embarrass him or her and didn't exacerbate whatever it was that they said in that moment. Sometimes it may be appropriate to speak up right then and there and confront the person. Sometimes it may be to do what you did.
You know, you mentioned strategies. See, you're asking us for a strategy about how to be in some future hypothetical moment.
In order to be a better you.
Right.
Yeah.
And that never works. You know, like I've used this example many times in over the past number of years, but about 15 or 20 years ago, Ariel and I were fishing in Costa Rica, and a black marlin, which is a very, very large, powerful fish, we're talking several hundred pounds, came in on the teasers, and I made a cast with my fly rod, and the fish took the fly, and it took off, and it jumped three times, and it spit the fly out.
And he was like, oh, I didn't set the hook.
Because setting the hook is pulling back on the line as the fish takes off, so the hook goes in solidly. And so then a couple of years later, we're down in Panama, and this maybe 500-pound black marlin comes in. This would have been a very long day if I had hooked it.
And then his strategy kicked in of, I'll never do that again.
And so I set the hook at the same time that black marlin took off. And it set the hook, too. And the combination of me pulling and it pulling snapped the line. So I never did get to fight that fish.
So there's, when you plan how to be for the future, it doesn't take into account the reality of what actually is happening in that moment, how you are, how they are, all the circumstances. The question you asked us did not include, in that particular instance, there was somebody nearby who could have heard, who might have misinterpreted, who all
whose
the
presence might have affected the way the person you were talking about could hear what you were saying, because they would be protecting themselves.
Cool.
It's called being appropriate, Katie. You know, when you're appropriate, you say the right things.
Yeah, I see that.
And you personally are very sensitive to other people's feelings.
You know, I know we were speaking about your chapter in Being Here Too. And if we look at how you approach dating, and I know we'll have an episode where we get to talk about the dating and relating chapters in the book. When a relationship broke up, you, like many people, look back to see what you did wrong. And there wasn't anything you did wrong. If you hadn't kept going, if those relationships that we all had didn't dissolve, we wouldn't be with our current mate. You have to go through what you go through. So it's easy to look at how you've been communicating, judge and evaluate it, create a strategy for going forward. But you're far better off looking and seeing and not judging what you see and just stepping forward into the next moment of now.
Cool.
Thank you. You are.
You're welcome.
Cool.
Yes, you are.
Thank you. So are you. So are both of you.
Any other questions before we
take our next caller?
No, thank you. It was great speaking with both of you.
Oh, that's great. Thank you.
It was lovely having you, and we'll see you not this Saturday, but the following Saturday.
Okay.
All right.
In Costa Rica.
Yes, pura vida. Yeah. All right. We have another caller waiting. It is Sandy. Are you in Munich, Sandy?
No, she's
yes,
not.
Yes, I am.
In Munich?
Yeah.
I thought you were. Oh, Sandy's. Sandy, yes, that's Sandy.
Hi.
Sorry.
He was envisioning a totally different Sandy.
I was envisioning a different Sandy.
Welcome to the show.
Thank you. I was listening to Ephraim and Katie, and
realized that one of the things that where I get caught is comparing myself. The community around you is so full of brilliant people, including yourself, in the way you express yourself, how clear you are. And I tell myself the story that I'm not capable to speak as beautifully and all that. But I notice that sometimes when I go back to listen to radio shows that I've been in, I surprise myself by what I hear.
I love that. I love, well, first of all, thank you for calling into the shows over the years. Secondly, good on you for going back and listening. And third, you're just telling everybody a big, big hint. Your story about who you are and how you're being is often very different and a very pale version of who you actually are. Now, of course, Sandy's had the luxury to go back and listen to herself, express herself. And because you're training yourself to listen in a non-judgmental manner, you're actually hearing yourself not through the filter of, oh, it's me, and actually hearing that individual who's speaking.
Yeah, that's amazing. I also work in the film industry, so I often have people that, you know, will, like, for a layout sound, will record some sentences or words that will later be dubbed by the real actor. And so sometimes...
Whoa.
I'm confused.
You've got us confused.
Oh.
You're,
what's a layout word that will be dumped by an actor?
We don't know what that means. So what you're doing now is using the jargon of a particular culture,
industry
that you work in. And it's like a doctor talking about some kind of brachial artery whoop-a-boop thing.
Okay. So could you come back a bit? I missed that.
Yes. So when I'm editing a film, we do picture and sound. And if one of the sound recordings is not okay or we want to change the wording, we'll record something into our iPhone and then play it onto the soundtrack of the film that we're working on in the non-final version. And
So if I am an actor and I'm playing a role and I say a word incorrectly or the sound got garbled for my microphone,
then you can correct it.
So you dump in something that's just a placeholder until they go back with the actor to actually re-record that sound?
Yes, right, very well.
Okay, I can see that.
Okay, now I'm following.
Thank you. And so the person who records is sometimes myself, sometimes it's the director that's sitting next to me. And when you hear your own voice, a lot of people cannot listen to their own voice and still judge what they hear because it interferes so much with, you know, they can't be neutral. They're like, oh, no, I can't hear my voice. You know what I mean?
Yes, they don't like the sound of their voice.
So they don't, yeah, and that's something that really, like you were saying, I've trained myself into really neutrally listen and hear what I'm saying, even though it's my own voice.
Yes.
Yeah.
You and me both.
Yep.
When I was a little kid, they didn't have tape recorders, and nothing was digital. And they had a wire recorder in my school, and we're talking 70 years ago or so. And I heard my voice, and it sounded like an uncle of mine that I didn't like, and so. I just couldn't stand that voice. That was his voice. How did my voice turn into his voice?
I have an idea about that, but we have to take a break. Let me talk about that when we come back. We'll be back shortly with Sandy. Come on back.
And don't miss being here.
Here. It's your world. Motivate, change, succeed. VoiceAmericaEmpowerment.com.
This moment is precious, and being here for it is an idea worth sharing. So after you're done listening to the show, you can forward it to your friends and join the conversation on Ariel and Shia's Facebook or Twitter page, Transformation Made Easy. You can also connect with like-minded people by visiting a Say Yes to Your Life meetup group near you. Transformation is a communicable ease. The more you share it, the richer it becomes. Find out more at transformationmadeeasy.com.
Want success in every part of your life? Then join the club, the Excellence Club, the Cane's online community of people bringing excellence to all aspects of their lives. Call and ask questions on being here, write comments on the Transformational Moments blog, and take excellence to a new level in the Premium Excellence Club. Get the newest articles, podcasts, and weekly videos, plus enlightening advice. Join at transformationmadeeasy.com by clicking on the Excellence Club. TransformationMadeEasy.com, The Excellence Club.
Feeling inspired, entertained, enlightened? Would you like more? Ariel and Shia invite you to participate in their fun and lively transformational seminars that have allowed people across the globe to have highly satisfying lives without working on themselves or their problems. Join the Canes and their amazing community live and in person in New York, Germany, England, or even Costa Rica. Ready to deepen your experience of instantaneous transformation in your career, family, and relationships? Then take the leap. Register today at TransformationMadeEasy.com.
We're on Facebook along with some of the greatest minds of the world, and that includes you. Visit us on Facebook at Voice America Empowerment.
You are listening to Being Here with hosts Ariel and Shia Kane. Now, back to Being Here.
Welcome back, and thanks for listening.
Yeah, we want to thank all of our listeners.
And today, we have some special shout-outs for listeners in
Redmond, Washington,
Stavanger, Norway,
Montrose, Colorado,
Delhi, India,
San Jose, California,
Dublin, Ireland,
Elkhart, Indiana,
and WHO, Canada. Wherever you're listening, thanks for being part of our listening family. We appreciate you. Thanks for listening today as well.
Otherwise, we'd just be talking to ourselves if you weren't listening.
By the way, we're only partway into January. The calendar for 2019 from our Transformation Made Easy calendar is really beautiful. You can still get a copy either in person at one of our seminars, or you can order it online at transformationmadeeasy.com. And if you want to know what we are offering in advance, join our email newsletter. Each month we send out inspirational articles, videos, and more. So sign up at transformationmadeeasy.com. We are speaking with lovely Sandy. And Shai was talking about how he heard himself sound like his uncle.
Right.
And you've talked about that over the years. I've heard that story before, but something new.
There was something in his voice that was nasal, and I heard that in my voice, and I didn't like him. And so when I realized I sounded like him, that was really terrible. It was shocking.
Well, what you judge in others, you tend to judge in yourself. Or what you judge in yourself, you tend to judge in others. And the other thing is, what you resist, sometimes you turn into. People are often amazed how I can talk about an individual I've met or an individual Shai and I have been working with, and the sound of my voice and my face morphs into that person, their cadence, their tonality. When you resist something or someone, oftentimes you turn into them as well. It's as if you stick yourself to that individual.
Yes.
Yes? And the other thing, Shai, just FYI, I sometimes listen to the Being Here show in our car because I love hearing your voice.
Well, that really blows my racket, doesn't it?
Oh. I am just very, very in love with this guy. And even when I'm driving around, sometimes I prefer it to an audio book or music because I really love hearing his voice.
Well, thank you.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Did you have a question for us today, Sandy?
Not anymore. It's gone. I don't have any questions anymore. But thank you so much. This is so much fun calling into the show.
Well, it's lovely having you on the show.
Really? Yeah. Really lovely.
Well, all right then. We'll see you soon in Costa Rica as well. Yippee.
That's right. Pura vida.
Pura vida.
Let's take our last caller. Christian, are you in Hamburg today? As in Germany?
Hey, guys.
Hi.
Yes, I'm in Hamburg, Germany.
Excellent. Welcome to the show.
Thank you very much. This is an awesome show. I'm so happy to be on it. Something very wonderful happened during listening the previous caller. And you were talking about being clear and direct. And I discovered, and you as well, you were talking about when you want to have a specific outcome of a conversation, for example, and you try to make things happen that for example, I want to have a specific outcome, that it's like becomes like it's not a clear and direct conversation. It's like I'm hiding behind something because I want to have a specific outcome, and I didn't see that.
Can you give an example?
I had a flashback to my childhood, for example, when I had something while I was grocery shopping with my mom in the supermarket, I had like this special look on my face, like to be cute or have this very sweet voice. So I would maybe get the chewing gum I want to have.
So that,
yeah, like Ladderach chocolate.
Yes.
So that strategy has followed you into adulthood, where you sometimes put on that face or that affect to get what you want, as opposed to just say, "Hey, I'd love to go out with you. Will you have a date with me?"
Yes, exactly.
Oh, I love that. That's a good example.
It's so funny, you know, just the picture of this little boy, and I'm 6'4", so this is quite funny. Yeah.
Right, so you have a 6'4" man who is operating like he's 6
yes.
years old.
Mm-hmm. Yes, that's so funny. And it never, you know, and as soon as I saw it, I was like, oh, wow, this gives me a complete new option to communicate with people. Doesn't matter. You know, like, I'm self-employed, and sometimes we talk about my salary. And this gives me, you know, I can say clear and direct now, hey, look, this is what I want to have, instead of, I would like to have 600 euros. Yeah, maybe I can get it. Instead of like, hey, look, this is 600 euros. And
right.
Yes.
That's so funny.
When you have doubt in what you're worth, you create doubt in the people that they've got a professional working with them.
Ah.
Mind you, that's why I was asking you for an example, Christian, because in both of your examples just now, like, oh, maybe I can get 600 euros, or the fee is 600 euros, you do have a same specific outcome for both, but that one is approached
as a goal.
One is approached very differently. One is a statement: the fee for my services is 600 euros.
And the other one is more of a manipulation
to get the chewing gum.
Yes.
Isn't it funny that we all have containedness, the little people we once were and all the strategies we had?
That we put together back then to get what we wanted, and they still run in us as though we are those people.
And I can't remember which person we were speaking with earlier, but if you have behind you strategies,
probably Ephraim.
It was probably Ephraim.
Ephraim.
Strategies for how you want to be. Some of the strategies that run in the background are, please like me, don't dislike me.
Okay.
So you add something to your request or your communication.
When I was a kid, I was a stick person, you know, very skinny little kid. And I grew up on the ocean near New York City, the Rockaway beaches, and there were these lifeguards there who were athletes. You know, they were big barrel-chested men, or actually they were older teenage boys.
But in your perception.
But in my perception, they were men. And so I would lie in bed at night and breathe deeply up into my chest to try to get my chest to be big like they were. And I just, you know, that's just a kid's strategy, but those strategies still run in us somehow.
Yeah.
And if you have a sense of humor about it, like Christian is laughing about it, and it is laughable, but if you have a sense of humor about it, those things clear up in an instant. But if you try to change yourself to be some idea you should be as an adult, you become a caricature of a person.
We were actually speaking about that in a recent weekend with Julie, who is a high school principal, about when she was less secure in herself as a not very tall individual. She's petite. She's about 5 foot.
Maybe five foot one or two.
And
how, small.
And a lot of the children are closer to Christian size, 6 foot, up to 6'4". And so that she used to try to add force and a bigger quality to her communication as if she needed to do being big rather than simply being clear and direct is enough.
You know, a simple, clear, direct communication is much more effective than a loud, angry, fierce,
forceful
communication.
And it's been fun seeing how much bigger her presence is when she doesn't add that extra effort put together from
an earlier version of her, because she's always been small.
And I love the way you identified this for yourself, Christian, because I've seen you from time to time do that hold your hands together, kind of wobble your head from side to side, diminishing thing. And I've always thought that was a interesting affect that is not like the man I know.
Our experience of the man you are.
And I think it's so fun to find out that was your gum
kids.
Getting struck.
Right.
You know, to a kid, getting gum or getting
candy.
For me, sugared cereal was a big one. You know, that was like the ultimate in my agenda at the moment, often. That's excellent.
This is so awesome.
That is so fun. You know what else is fun is you're laughing, not so much at yourself, but being finding that way of being humorous
or amusing, that's very cool, because when you can start to hold what's going on in your life lightly, then
it's so easy to dissolve.
Right.
It doesn't own you.
You can't seriously become enlightened, because the middle word in enlightenment, at least in the English language, is the word light. And you need to lighten up, you know, that this, you see, we all take ourselves so seriously as if everything is important to our survival, rather than we've survived with all of our foibles and odd behaviors. We still survived, otherwise we wouldn't be listening to this show.
You mentioned something in the last seminar you were with that just came back to mind for me, Christian. Just to give people some background on Christian quickly, he is a very talented makeup artist and hairstylist, and his work has been seen in many, many fashion magazines. And you took a number of your friends into a Sephora, which is a big place here in the United States.
That sells makeup, right?
All different kinds of makeups and beauty products. And you were able to walk through and point to something and say, this is a good color for you, this is a good lipstick for you, this would be a good sheen for you, this would be a good face powder for you. What I find interesting is after you did that, you took it back. You called over a worker and said, was this a good idea? I think it would be fun for you to practice
being bold.
Being bold.
Yep. I can see that.
It's okay for you to be an expert.
At 6'4".
Cool. Yeah.
Thank you so much for calling in today and lending your voice to this show. I think a lot of people have the power of being clear and direct. It's a very serious project. And what a gift that you were with us today.
Thank you so much for having me. It's awesome.
If you want to meet Christian, come to Hamburg. He'll be in the Hamburg courses in the spring. If you want excellence in every aspect of your life, join us for a seminar. You can get all the details and register at transformationmadeeasy.com. You enjoying this show?
Share it. Transformation happens for you when you share it with others.
Next week's show is a great one, particularly for many of us who are going off to Costa Rica this week. It's called Unconnected and Unimportant, where you give yourself license to unplug and let go. We'll be back next week, everyone. So come on back.
And don't miss being here.
We hope you've enjoyed today's episode of Being Here. If you would like to learn more about instantaneous transformation, visit the Canes website at transformationmadeeasy.com. Be sure to tune in next Wednesday for another empowering episode of Being Here.